Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to tune in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. It just occurred to me that I butchered the new intro that I did, and so I'm not playing it, so we are live right now. We have Ron Patton on hold, and as usual, I'm joined by the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. Sherry, what's happening?
Nothing much. I was on tour for the first time, probably in about how many months? Oh, my gosh. I was on tour probably in the end of February just before we got locked down. So, yeah, it was awesome. I did a gallery reading yesterday, and it was really nice, really, really awesome. So, yeah, got some healing done and did some Chinese medicine on a couple people and some miracles. And yeah, I took the day off. Saturday's my day off, but today it's my day off to just kind of recover.
Oh, very cool. Well, I've had a busy week as well. As I've talked to you outside of this show, I sold one of my cars. Yes, I'm spoiled. I have two cars. A 2016 Honda I sold wholesale to the dealer so that I could have cash to pay off all my credit card debt, which I did. And then I did the most irresponsible thing possible, is bought a brand new car. And let me tell you, well, it's a 2021 Hyundai Elantra. I know it doesn't sound terribly exciting, but it's actually a pretty cool, sporty-looking car. And I have to tell you, the technology nowadays has come so far. I have so much technology packed into this car. Like, I can start it with my phone. I can do all sorts of stuff with my phone. I don't even have to – it's push-button start. And I don't even have to take a key out to get in. The car senses that the key is closed, so I can just basically pull the handle. It steers. It'll steer itself on the freeway to stay between the lines. It's absolutely ludicrous. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's always nice having a new car. Now, when I get a few payments, of course, I'll regret it. But in the meantime, in this honeymoon phase, I'm kind of loving it. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
Oh, wow. Good for you. How about you, Ron? How are you doing?
Oh, let's bring one. There we go.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you.
I just said, how are you doing?
Yeah. I'm up in the hot box up in my attic here.
What?
It's my sweat box. Sweat box. It's like a natural sauna room.
Oh my gosh!
I feel for you. I lived in. Well, now I have central air, which is amazing. But for many years, I lived in an apartment that faced the sun, and they would not allow air conditioners. And there were times, not many of them, but there were times when I actually had to put cold water in a bathtub so I don't heat stroke out because it's so damn hot. And so I feel your pain, unless you like to be really hot. I hate it. I can't sleep. It's disgusting.
Well, actually, there's a lot of lawnmowers going off around the neighborhood right now. So I decided to shut my windows and, I just figured, hey, might as well make a sauna time out of it. I'm multitasking. I'm talking to you guys and I'm sweating. So, yeah, sometimes it's beneficial.
Well, for the listeners don't know, I guess we didn't really talk about what we're going to talk about. Let's just talk about whatever. So, Ron, why don't you tell the listeners, update them on who you are and what you do.
I am still Ron Patton. Thank you very much.
You haven't changed.
Boy, I think it's been, a little over a year since I was last on, and I'm still producing Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. We're no longer with KXL. We're actually at a new station in Milwaukee, Oregon, and that's working out really well for us. And we have a digital media platform called Aftermath.fm, as well as Aftermath.media. Aftermath.fm is our streaming network, and then Aftermath.media is our sort of our private digital playground. So we have a lot of our videos and audio clips, audio montages, and our archive shows on there. you know, because there's just been so much censorship and, you know, we've had a few of our YouTube videos taken down, unfortunately, but that seems to be par for the course, you know, in this age of just sort of unbridled censorship. If you talk about anything dealing with COVID-19 and it doesn't go along with, you know, whatever the so-called science says about it, then, you know, you get restriction or shadow banned, or they even take your video off. So, but it's been working out pretty well for the most part. You know, in this age of the new normal, you have to make adjustments accordingly. And so we're all doing pretty well.
Hey, Ron, what do you think about this? I just saw this feed here. It says this concert in Florida, say where in Florida, but it's a rock concert. And they're saying that the tickets cost, I'm reading it verbatim, it's $18 per person or $1,000 if you're not vaccinated. Can you, it's from a Washington Post. It's from Washington Post. Can you believe
that? Yeah, well, I just find it interesting how, the government, and as well as various types of agencies and businesses, are really pushing for people to get vaccinated. And, you know, myself personally, I just feel that it should be, you know, a person's choice. If they feel that it's beneficial for them, more power to them. But if not, then, you know, whatever happened to, like, freedom of choice? And so we're just getting to that period, I think, where conspiracy theorists are saying, well, you know, this was bound to happen. And so we're just seeing so many different things culminating into this so-called new normal, which is essentially more like the new world order that a lot of conspiracy theorists have been talking about for quite a long time.
I know for me personally, this whole COVID situation and the vaccine, it just comes across as super, super sketchy to me. It's hard to know exactly with all the misinformation. It's hard to kind of sift through everything to know what's true or not. Some of the things that I've read recently were that this has been in the works for a long time, that companies were working on a COVID vaccine back in 2017, and some people even pulled up some data sheets from the companies that specifically labeled using the words COVID-19. And it's just stuff like that. It's just, whether it's true or not, I have no idea. But I kind of feel as if this, if it wasn't created by us or China or whoever, that the government will monopolize on it at the very least, probably to expand control over the population in some way. But maybe I'm just a crazy conspiracy theorist. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's a definite paper trail when you take a look at it. And somebody by the name of Dr. Lieber from Harvard University was involved with the COVID-19 research several years ago. And that research included the use of nanotechnology, you know, using nanobots or whatever, in a virus, basically making a virus a technology. And then Frank Plummer, who is I believe he was an epidemiologist up in Canada, was also involved in that research. Then he ended up dead, supposedly of a heart attack. But and then, you know, the trail led to Wuhan, China. So, you know, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and so it's really difficult to ascertain where it originated from. But what the powers that be tend to create a lot of divergence or a lot of spurious theories, right, to keep people off track. But, you know, there's definitely something amiss with this whole COVID-19 and the vaccine as well. Clyde Lewis, you know, the radio host of Ground Zero, has done several shows about COVID-19 with regard to gain of function exercises. things like Event 201, where basically they're running simulations of a virus or a pandemic and see how we would respond to it. And of course, this was done prior to the COVID-19 outbreak. So you can pretty much be assured anytime they run these type of pandemic simulations or gain of function exercises that something very traumatic is going to be coming, you know, coming forth shortly after. So that's what we've been dealing with. And, you know, the other thing is recently I've been watching this Borat 2 TV series. And basically what they're trying to do is like debunk conspiracy theorists. And I found it really intriguing just because it's how they frame conspiracy theorists as these like stupid, ignorant, hick, right wing, you know, wackos. And of course, they don't really interview real, true conspiracy theorists that have half a brain, right? You know, people like, you know, Clyde Lewis and, you know, there's several other people out there that I think do an exemplary job of trying to find out what the truth is amid all the political biases and cognitive dissonance that's truly ingrained within society today.
Well, I ain't getting the shot. I know that. I am a little concerned. I work in healthcare. Medical uh-huh. laboratories and, you know, testing COVID and stuff like that. Or I should say I did until my employer decided that they weren't going to accommodate my work restrictions. So now I'm in work limbo. But what I'm concerned about is I have another health system interested in me. And mm-hmm. I'm afraid that if I get hired, I'm going to have to get the vaccine. I don't know what their policy is, so maybe that's not going to be a problem, but I'm kind of stressing about it because then I'm put in a position where I feel, I need to live. I need to have an income. I'm going to have to take it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to suck it up. I won't have a choice. And that is so wrong, especially with something that's not FDA approved. I don't even think it's technically a vaccine.
It's not, it's an experimental, inoculation or whatever they call it. So to me, there's just way too many question marks with regard to it because they just push this through. And, you know, the other thing is, was COVID-19 ever isolated, you know, as a virus? I don't believe it has been. And that just goes to show you that there's something else to it and that it most likely was manipulated. So that's why I just, and, you know, I've spoken to quite a few people in the medical profession, both doctors and nurses who will call into the show, but they don't want to go on the show. And they are scared to death of this, not because that COVID-19 is going to wipe out everybody, but they just see the politics behind it and how, you know, whether it's municipal or state or even federal governments are really trying to push this vaccine through and really not care about a person's freedom of choice. So, yeah, there's just so many question marks and not a lot of answers. And, you know, I'm the type of person, you know, again, I have both progressive or liberal views as well as conservative views. And so I don't really like to be put in a box when it comes to, you know, all these things that are going on with regard to COVID-19 and vaccines and our rights. Yeah, it's just everything is just so messed up today. And, you know, I've had a lot of friends that no longer want to talk with me because I just don't fit into their sort of political view or perspective. So, but, you know, you have to keep true to yourself. And, you know, I feel sorry, you know, for you with regard to, you know, your profession and you having to, you know, make a choice. But for myself, I've decided that if it ever came to a mandatory type thing, I'd probably have to leave the state, you know, and go elsewhere to where I wouldn't be forced. And, you know, I've been thinking about this for a long time, too. I think that there's going to be a point in time probably sooner than later, where you're going to start seeing intentional communities where people that are like-minded and, you know, love their liberty and their freedom are going to, you know, band together and kind of have their own little commune, you know, and, you know.
Because, well, since everybody's going to die in 1 to 2 years, you know.
What was that?
Since everybody's going to die in 1 to 2 years, none of this is going to matter. Because I don't think that's going to happen. But that's what people are saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, so that's my little rant with regard to, you know, the whole COVID and vaccination thing. It's interesting. Years ago, I used to get allergy shots. And there was a time where I was playing football, and everybody had to get a flu shot. So I got a flu shot, and my arm swelled up so bad, and I was sick for almost 2 weeks after that. And so I went back to my allergist and told him what happened, and he was really upset with me. And I go, "Why are you so upset?" You know, after I told him I got a flu shot, and he goes, "Those things are terrible." He goes, "Next time, if you ever do something like that, tell me." He goes, "They have all kinds of really, you know, bad preservatives or toxins in the vaccinations." Like, I had no idea. I didn't know. But he said he would have made a fresh batch for me, you know. And so anyway, that was, it's like, I don't think I want to get a flu vaccination. And, you know, the reality is I've only had the flu maybe 2 or 3 times in the past 40 years. So it's just not something I get often.
Well, I think I was talking to Jason. Was it this week? Hi, Jason. We were talking a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised this year I had the COVID flu. You know, I mean, it's like it wasn't going in and, you know, taking the test, but I didn't have loss of taste or smell, but there's so many different symptoms, and it's just like a flu. You just ride it out, and, you know, you just get over it. You keep your immune system as healthy as possible. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if I had it. You know, I would not be surprised. And it's interesting how, you know, the doctors, even my naturopath, I was so disappointed with her. I haven't seen her for a couple of years, and I had eczema. And so she says, "Why won't you come in for a COVID test?" And I said, "Why? Why would I want to come in for a COVID test? For what reason?" She said, "Well, maybe it could be related to COVID." And I said, "Well, if it is, what can you do about it? What, you know, really, what can you do?" She said, "Well, there's nothing." And I said, "Well, I'm not going in. I'm going to isolate myself. I don't talk to people anyway. So, I mean, in person, unless I go to the store." So, you know, it's like, why? I mean, so it's like, "Oh, yeah, we need you to have it come in." It's like, "Yeah, more money. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching." It's like, "No, thank you. No, I'm not buying into it."
Well, what I find interesting, too, is how, you know, I've heard some people say, "You know what? It's just the flu. It's just another coronavirus." Well, that's partially true. It is a coronavirus, but it's one that I believe that is more of a technology because it's been manipulated. And even with the vaccines and how that changes, you know, your DNA.
That's scary.
But what's interesting is you have some health professionals that are really pushing this agenda. They're just saying, you know, do you want to have, like, a lot of people die because of COVID-19 or have a few people that have, you know, side effects? So basically what they're doing is they're minimizing sort of the fallout from a lot of the adverse reactions people are having from the vaccinations. And, you know, like I said, I screen calls for Ground Zero, and so there's a lot of people that actually will call in, you know, like who work in the medical profession and say, "I don't want to get on the air because I don't want to lose my job, but I just want to tell you that something isn't right. What you hear in the news, it's not correct." And a lot of these health professionals don't want to take the vaccine either. And some are quitting, you know, because they prefer not to do it. They feel they know better. You know, like for myself, I've looked at both sides of the issue, and I've just come to that reality that it's not a good thing. And I would go so far as saying that it is an aspect of transhumanism, that we're being sort of pushed in that arena, and that in conjunction with chemtrails, which also disperse nanoparticulates, or what's referred to as, they used to call it years ago, smart dust, you know, like nanobots that are just sort of like microscopic practically, that can get into your system and they can track you. And when I first heard that, I just thought, oh, that's a little too out there. But when you realize that there are actual patents to substantiate that, then you have to ask yourself, well, so if the technology exists, what is the motivation behind it? And so, and I'm the type of person that likes to dig and wants to know why things are the way they are. I just don't like to hear pat answers, even from both sides of the coin. I want to know for myself and do my own homework to kind of figure out why things are the way they are.
You know, there's people that would laugh at that, saying, you know, nanobots in the air and stuff like that. But when DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project, super sketchy people that invent weird stuff, comes out and says they've created an implant that can go in the human body and it will detect COVID-19, makes you wonder if all these other stories that come out are, you know, if there's some truth to it. It's, you know, it's a really scary time to be alive because you don't know what really the agenda is. All you can do is speculate, and all I know is that what's happening is not the way it's being told. That's what my gut tells me. And you got to go with your gut in life. We're not hearing the whole truth.
Oh, yeah.
We're not hearing the whole story.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the important thing is to use critical thinking as well. So it, basically what you're trying to do is balance or harmonize both your you know, inductive reasoning as well as your intuitive reasoning, you know, the gut feeling, and then along with the intellect. And unfortunately, a lot of people are imbalanced today, you know, and that's why they're running on really high emotional levels without thinking why they're doing things, you know, in a real sort of dramatic and emotional way. And I think that's part of the, you know, divide and conquer programming that's so entrenched in society right now. And I'm sure a lot of, there's been think tanks throughout the years, you know, put together by Kissinger and Brzezinski and people like that who, you know, thought about, okay, how can we divide the American populace or even the world populace? And so we're seeing it today. You know, there's a really good audio series. It came out as a cassette back in the early 90s, and it was called Mind Control in America by Stephen Jacobson. And so I believe you can get that on the internet for free, but it pretty much shows you how gullible people are, people who you would think would be, you know, smart enough to not be fooled by something, but we're all susceptible. And so that's why it's important to, again, be able to use our intellect and critical thinking as well as our intuitive, you know, feelings. And, but again, most people are not in the right mental state or emotional state right now.
True. It's all fear-based. I mean, I was watching a 2.5-hour seminar, and it was like, it just came out this week. Her name's Sherry Tenpenny, and she's an osteopath. So she has two medical degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And researching thousands of hours of just the vaccine alone, just to educate. It wasn't to sway. It was literally just the facts, the scientific facts. And the first thing she said, people, like you just said, Ron, people are just fear-based. Are they doing their research or due diligence to weigh both the pros and the cons? And even with, like I said, with my doctor, they were saying, you know, my naturopath it was all fear-based. Oh, hey, you haven't gotten the COVID shot. And I said, no. She said, well, you need to get one. I go, why? And she goes, because I've seen COVID and you don't want to get it. And I said, I realize there is COVID. She said, well, you should go and make an appointment. And that's like, no, I didn't want to tell her. I don't like the manipulation, you know. Oh, uh-huh. You're not going to get any I said, did you get a side effect? And she said, well, it was a little bit. I mean, she downplayed it, but she said, oh, it was a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, what about the people that are actually getting blood clots and dying from it, yet they say, oh, it was probably something else. You know, so that's another part of the propaganda, is they really minimize those adverse reactions. And then, you know, people like Robert Kennedy Jr., who's, you know,
oh, yeah,
he's an environmental attorney, but he's putting out, and he's a Democrat, he's a liberal, but he's putting out a lot of really good information regarding these vaccines and how, you know, the really high degree of adverse reactions people are having from them. But, you know, as far as people that are dying from the vaccines, of course they won't say that. Yet they would say that people were dying from COVID-19, right, where they had some, you know, other probably something that was more major, like heart issues or whatever. And if they died from it and they showed up having COVID-19, they said, oh, they died from COVID-19, right? So that's where you see the big flip-flop, where they're minimizing the adverse reactions to the vaccine, but overstating the COVID-19 deaths, which I think were really inflated.
The latest thing was, I don't remember exactly what city it was. I want to say Pittsburgh. 18 children developed either myocarditis or pericarditis, inflammation of heart muscle or
yes,
the pericardium around the heart. And it seemed very,
uh-huh,
what I was reading, very minimized. Oh, 16 were discharged, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to have an inflamed heart. That's going to promote arrhythmia. You just don't want that. And it's scary. One of the funniest things that, Sherry, you mentioned earlier about the symptoms. Literally every time I read the news, there's a new symptom associated with COVID-19. It's so fear-based. Mm-hmm. But the one that I saw yesterday, I literally laughed, which doesn't make it not
uh-huh
so, but it's called Bowes lines. If you have white lines under your fingernails, you know, that go horizontal, that now they're saying that
uh-huh
that's associated with COVID-19, among other things. But it's just, we're bombarded with literally every system in your body will develop a symptom from COVID-19. And I just want to call bullshit. I'm sorry.
Right. And you know what? You know, earlier I was talking about diversions, and it really seems like with the chemtrail spraying, there's been a lot more in recent months. And, of course, it's considered, you know, a conspiracy theory, although they're talking about it now as an aspect of geoengineering, right? They're calling it global dimming or whatever. So they're talking about how it could be beneficial to the planet as a way to decrease the Earth's temperature and, you know, help offset global warming. So, again, everything's sort of flip-flop when it comes to this, but, you know, there's been actual studies of air quality. A guy by the name of Clifford Carnicum down in Santa Fe, New Mexico, he started the Carnicum Institute years ago as a way to analyze, you know, what's in the air. And, you know, he found, like, barium, strontium, and even at times there's lithium. I know, like, in Oregon, they even said they were doing a lithium experiment a few years ago. I think it was back in 2016. And there was somebody by the name of Dr. Ann Fillmore who lives in Newport, Oregon. And there was like a heavy spraying one day, and then her animals were really sick, or dogs, and I think cats, and people were feeling sick and throwing up, having flu-like symptoms. And then they'd go to the doctor, and the doctors would just say, oh, you just have the crud or the organ crud or whatever, because they didn't have the flu. And around the same time, I was walking with my friend, and there was just this really intense downpour. I think this was around March 2016. And that night, I started feeling like I had a fever. And then the next day, I was like, I had the shakes, man. It was really bad. And I was feeling that way off and on for about a week. And I finally got over it. But it was like, yeah, it was definitely felt like I had the flu. But I'm just wondering if it was from that downpour. And again, that was the same time there was stuff in the news with regard to these lithium experiments, and the federal government was revealing they were doing some experiments, high altitude experiments, but that shouldn't have affected anybody. But, you know, you just got to look at the cause and effect relationship with all these people that were sick at the time, including myself. And to be quite honest with you, I haven't fully recovered from that. I have issues with candida, and so I have to be really careful what I eat. But, yeah, it kind of makes you think, you know, what people are being subjected to is, you know, not only COVID-19, but with all this chemtrail crap. And, of course, you know, a lot of people's diets aren't that good. And so I think that's why we need to be really vigilant about our health. And, you know, find different ways to detox, you know, both from the chemtrail crap that we ingest and inhale, as well as, you know, any type of bacteria or viruses. You know, there are ways to, you know, offset or mitigate it naturally, but they never emphasize that, right? They just say, oh, wear a mask and get vaccinated.
Personally, it wouldn't surprise me if they're spraying stuff up there, but there have been so many reports of it that 77 scientists published a report in the Journal of Environmental Research, and 98.7% said they found, after going through all the data, said that they didn't find any data that supported the fact that chemtrails were actually happening, except for one. One out of the 77 said that in a remote location that the levels of barium were unusually high as compared to the soil. So, but I, you know, who knows? I believe it. It wouldn't surprise me. It's mind control. Probably spraying us with like lithium so to keep us docile.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. But I mean, they've even found, like I said, mycoplasma. It's like, what the hell, you know, why would these like, red blood cells be falling out of the sky. And that was several years ago. And Clifford Carnicum, he used to work for the government. I think he worked for the Department of Defense, and he's very scientific-minded. But, of course, a lot of his research and work is being really suppressed, and they just, you know, regard him as some wacko, but he's really not that way. And it's really sad when you have people that are trying to help others and, you know, with disregard to politics and weaponized science, so to speak, that their information is not widely accepted. And, of course, being sent there, being censored. There's two doctors that I met when I was living in Olympia, Washington. Dr. Gould and Dr. Gould, they were a father-son team. One was an epidemiologist, and one was a regular MD. And they created what they called spectrum autism clinics throughout the country, where they were actually able to help children and young adults with autism by, you know, changing their diet and balancing their hormones, and, you know, also they found a connection with heavy metals, especially mercury, and they were able to detox them from that, and they were making a lot of headway. There's a lot of, it just depends upon the level, right, of autism that some of these people are experiencing. But a lot of them made some dramatic headway. But they were shut down because they were, considered doing things unethically and illegally. And, it was a real shame because a lot, these guys should be, like, esteemed as, helping society, especially with autism. And, again, there's that whole question whether or not vaccines kind of, create autism or, promote autism. But, there seems to be a direct cause and effect relationship. But, again, that's being suppressed. And has been for a number of years.
All I want to know is how to detox my liver, because it's not a happy jumper.
Milk thistle.
Let me tell you, here's a story. So a couple of months ago, I was having classic liver symptoms, and I knew I identified it right away. I'm not a doctor, but I WebMD all the time.
Right.
So I get checked out. And my liver enzymes were high. Now, mind you, I work in a medical laboratory, right? So I know what the values are supposed to be for your bilirubin, ALT, and your AST and all that. So my ALT, the normal, top normal, it shouldn't be over 40, was over 1,600. And, that's, it can get in the tens of thousands, but that's pretty ridiculously high. And the other values were off, not quite as bad. So I just had some weird acute liver thing. Now, I don't drink. I quit drinking years ago. So, of course, naturally, what do you naturally think when something like that happens? I don't do pills or supplements or anything like that. Somebody's trying to kill me, obviously. Maybe it's the government. Maybe they don't like Paranormal Horizons. So I need to find a way to detox his liver. Whatever happened, whether it was some sort of systemic acute something or somebody's trying to kill me, my liver has gotten better. But it's the values are almost normal. Something weird happened.
There's a lot of Sherry could probably tell you there's different things you can take. There's various types of herbs. But I know milk thistle works wonders. There was somebody that I knew that had Hep C and, took a lot of milk thistle and within a year was better, Didn't have it anymore, so.
I had to try. I've always...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I worked in a hospital. I've seen people die of liver failure, and that to me is like up there in the top five worst ways to die. I mean, it is nasty.
And then sometimes when people are having liver issues, it could be from going through some sort of heavy metal detox and your liver is just being overburdened. Because I went through a heavy metal detox years ago because I had high levels of both mercury and arsenic. And they figured that the mercury may have been because I had cracked fillings for a number of years. But the arsenic was really hard to ascertain where I got that from. I lived in Navy housing when I was younger, so, it was stuff in those, we had bomb shelters right in the back of us, and the soil was probably contaminated. But, heavy metal detox took about a year for me to go through, but I felt so much better. But at the same time, it does become a burden on both your liver and your kidneys when you're detoxing heavy metals. So, fortunately, I had a doctor who was both a medical doctor and a naturopathic doctor. So I had the best of both worlds. And that helped me considerably going through the detox. And, I need to do it again.
Was that a long process? It sounded like a whole year, but did you feel the effects right away on when you started your detox?
Actually, I felt worse. Yeah. I actually felt worse because, again, when you're going through a heavy metal detox and, you know, leaching all those heavy metals in your system, and it's tough on your kidneys and your liver. But, you know, it took about a month or so to where I was starting to feel better. But,
okay.
And then, you know, the other thing is I had that candida issue, and that seems to be something that's very rampant in all across America today is the candida issue. People have a lot of, you know, overgrowth of yeast and fungus in their system, and they don't even know it. But of course, doctors really downplay that, but it's something that's really proliferated because of people's diet. And you know, my doctor was saying that probably because of the heavy metal toxicity that I've had for years, and you know, I had really severe allergy problems, and that was probably because of that. It's a breeding ground for candida, and so you have to try to eliminate the one thing to be able to deal with the other. And so that's why I went through a very stringent detox process, which included you know, eating lots of cilantro, apple pectin, some amino acid that I took regularly as well. But yeah, there were very special supplements that I took on a regular basis. But again, it was just like, man, the first few weeks, man, I felt awful. But my doctor told me I would. And then, you know, I also experienced really severe brain fog, which I still have today. And I do have moments of, you know, mental clarity, but, man, it gets tough when you have candida for long periods of time.
Wow. Jeez. So, Rob, are you looking at every day? In your observation, are you looking at chemtrails every day, or how often are we seeing them in our area, in the Portland area?
Well, yeah, it's almost every day. I mean, I'm looking at them right now. This morning it was really bad, and then it just amazes me, though, that not enough people really consider what's going on right above their heads. And, you know, I remember when I first heard about chemtrails, I think it was in the late 90s, and when they told me about it, I'm going, I don't think so. Why would the government do this? Because they would be inhaling the same thing, right? You know, the elite or whoever you want to call them, or we're hearing the same stuff. But, you know, after a while, when you start doing your own research and you look at various types of patents, and I think there was a scientist by the name of Edward Teller, who was, you know, involved in the atom bomb or Manhattan Project back in the 40s. I think later on, right when about the time he was retiring, they were talking about global warming and various ways to offset it. And what he proposed was kind of creating this high atmosphere blanket, you know, of various types of particulates in order to reflect the UV rays back into the atmosphere. And, you know, it was also a time where people were thinking about the ozone layer being depleted and stuff. So that was his solution. So basically he was saying that probably the best way to lower the Earth's temperature was by creating chemtrails, without saying chemtrails, of course. That's just sort of the conspiracy theory. Some people call it aerosol spraying. Some people call it global dimming. But basically it's all the same thing. And so, again, you're having these proposals, right, by these think tanks or these scientists saying, oh, we should be doing this or that. And then, you know, a few years later, it actually comes to pass. So there you go.
And got a bunch of sketchy think tanks.
It amazes me, though, that nobody really cares. You know, it's sort of like, I think people are just so used to it. And again, part of it has to do with conditioning. You know, if you condition people long enough, they'll believe a lie, you know. So I know a lot of I've listened to a lot of weather reports, and you know they'll say, oh, we have these high atmospheric clouds. Now some people say that they're chemtrails, but there's really no such thing. It's just you know, we have a lot of air traffic sometimes, and the atmosphere conditions are such that it creates this you know, cloud layer, but there's nothing to worry about. It's just clouds.
Yep. Yeah, places
like
yeah, places like companies like Rand Corporation, the think tank, where you know very smart people behind closed doors come up with policies and technology and all sorts of stuff. Like at the Rand Corporation, of 33 people that have won Nobel prizes were somehow at some point in their career were associated with the Rand Corporation. It's scary to think what happens, you know, whether you get a bunch of smart people together, what sort of crazy stuff they can come up with.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And like I said earlier, I think a lot of this, whether it's the chemtrails, which I think is sort of a multifarious thing, I think part of it also has to do with they're creating this global electronic communication system where you know, they're able to, you know, use the military is able to use. And then also, I think with everybody inhaling all these nanoparticulates, these metallic substances, then, you know, they can activate it, whether it's 5G or by some other source. So I think it's just so encompassing. And again, there's a lot of spurious theories as to why all these things are in place, but I don't think it's necessarily for the benefit of you or I. And, you know, they'll just continuously spin all these theories themselves. Some are really outlandish, of course, but, you know, that's what they do in order to kind of divert people's attention. And I'd rather just live a very simple life, you know, and be able to eat good food and, you know, be able to do the things I want without harming other people. But, man, they just really make it tough to survive now.
Oh, yeah, and you brought up 5G. Lord knows what that's doing. I'm sure the towers are already up in Portland. Probably every 5 feet we're getting bombarded with nasty radiation or something.
Yeah, and again, they'll just minimize it by saying, well, you know, as long as you're, you know, so far away from it and not around it for too long a period of time, you're okay. But, you know, I've spoken to people who have set up cell towers, and, you know, a lot of them are no longer work because they've been radiated so bad, you know, that they're not getting any financial assistance because of it, because of their contractual agreements or what have you. Like, yeah, so it's a really big mess. But, you know, I think we really have to take responsibility for our own health and, you know, just really be more introspective of what we need to do to take care of ourselves, because obviously we can't rely on the government to do that yet. So many people are willing to just submit to whatever our government says, right? And I think because of all the different traumas, these reoccurring traumatic events that have been occurring throughout the past several years, people are just so worn down that they'll do whatever they can to just, you know, survive. So, you know, we need to get to that point where we're just not surviving, but we're thriving as a human race.
Well, when you can get a large portion of the population to stand for hours in line to take a non-FDA-approved pseudo-vaccine with no long-term studies, it kind of tells you what kind of control the government has.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, again, and it's interesting, too, because I'll get comments from different people that I know. And they'll ask, oh, so did you get vaccinated? You know, like they're smiling. And I go, no. It's like, that's all I say, you know, because why get into it, right? Because they're not going to change my mind. I probably won't change their mind. But part of it's just sort of a, you know, virtue signaling as a way to say, oh, look what I did. You should do this too because, you know, it's saving lives. But, you know, is it really? I always come back to the point where we need to be able to think for ourselves. And I think most of the populace has lost that ability to do that. Part of it has to do with our education system, and, you know, part of it may have to do with religion, you know. That's why I always tell people, I really don't care about your politics or your religion. I just want to know where your heart is. And I think that's what we're going to have to take a closer look at, because there's just too much division and not enough genuine unity going on right now.
Absolutely. I agree, Ron. Definitely. I know people that if I went either way, whether I'm vaccinated or not to be vaccinated, they would have a judgment against me and maybe decide whether they want to be friends with me or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, even relatives. So, yeah, it makes it really tough now. And so I think, again, we're going to have to get to that point. Many of us are going to have to get to that point where, you know, we may have to relocate, you know, to a different county or a different state, to where we can exercise our freedom of choice a lot more readily. And I think that's going to be sooner than later. So, you know, I've been thinking about that, and you know, it even makes it hard for our radio show Ground Zero right now, just because we're under such attack from, you know, both sides, basically. It's like, oh, you got to take a side, but it's like, no, I'd rather just be independent and think for myself. Yeah, but that's part of the Hegelian dialectic, right? You know, where basically both opposing sides are being controlled by the same source. And
yep.
I can really see through that, and I don't want to be a part of it. So there you go.
Let's all move to Greenland. It's a little cold, though.
Yeah.
Maybe like.
Yeah. Can
Sweden.
You grow stuff there? I mean.
I don't. Probably not. Maybe snow cones. I don't know anything about Greenland, actually.
Yeah. Or yeah, developed by. Yeah, it's a big place, right? And maybe you can create biospheres or something like that. But you know, there's. People moving to just remote areas of the country. And, it's interesting right now to see how many Americans are relocating from different places. I know, like, from the West Coast, for example, whether it be Washington, Oregon, or California, a lot of people are moving to either, like, Idaho, Arizona, Texas, you know, states that are, you know, a little bit more into supporting people's freedom of choice or their liberties.
It's also too expensive on the West Coast. I
mean,
California,
yeah.
And it's Portland.
It's exceedingly high. And I grew up in Hawaii, and, you know, a lot of people tell me, oh, why'd you move from Hawaii? And I go, well, if you've ever lived there, you know how expensive it is. And, you know, unfortunately, the crime rate's really high, too. Yeah, it's been for a number of years. So, yeah, it's really a sad thing, what's going on in Hawaii. And they have very strict, stringent, you know, lockdown regulations there. So, yeah, it makes it tough for a lot of people, even if you travel inter-island, you know, from one island to the other. You know, each county or each island has different rules and regulations, so... Yep.
Never been to Hawaii.
I had a girlfriend who was going in Seattle. She went back home to Honolulu. She didn't have the vaccine papers all straightened out. She had to be in self-quarantine for 10 days. She was telling me that people can come in and check in on her, not just by phone call, but just drive up by her house and see if she's home, and see if she's violated the quarantine. And if she did, she'd have to pay a hefty fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This happened a couple
they're
months
really,
ago.
They have really strict, draconian laws there with regard to COVID-19 pandemic guidelines and lockdowns. Yeah, I've heard a lot of horror stories over there. But, you know, there are people that live on other islands that are less populated, and they have a little bit more freedom, you know. But, you know, the other thing is just wearing the mask constantly isn't really good for people. And, you know, because they talk about how COVID-19 causes these blood clots. Well, if you wear a mask for too long a period of time, that can also create blood clots. I don't know what the medical term for it is, but, you know, why don't they tell people to wear really good masks, breathable, filtered type masks, as opposed to just whatever, putting it on your face? Of course, they don't emphasize that. And there are masks that people can wear that are breathable, right, and filtered too. For the most part, the masks don't really even work. But, you know, again, it's part of that virtue signaling that a lot of people have become accustomed to, sadly.
Can you imagine
working
like 8, 9 hours a day? Can you imagine that? That's crazy, huh? No breathing room or anything.
Yeah, I did it.
Right.
I did it for 10 hours
you know,
a day.
People like doubling up or tripling up on their mask, and that's even creating a worse problem. So that's why I think that there's a lot of diversions going on, because if they took COVID-19 seriously, they would emphasize having a, you know, a really good quality mask. But they don't. They just, oh, just put a mask on, right? Just put it on. Keep it on. And so, yeah, it's just one of the many things that really bother me about this whole scenario is if you're going to take it seriously and you believe COVID-19 is a serious issue, then you need to have a mask that is actually going to work. But they don't.
Well, and then they come out with a study that says masks are useless. That just came out, which I find hard to believe. But, well, it looks like we're out of time, Ron. I want to thank you for taking the hour out of your day to come on. And where can people listen to Ground Zero now?
Well, if they want to listen on the radio, they can go to talkstreamlive.com. And they usually have an updated list of radio stations across the country. If they want to hear it streamed on the internet, they can go to aftermath.fm. And we have our own streaming network on there. There's also information about our show at groundzeromedia.org.
Ron, I want to talk really briefly about your paranormal magazine, so let our listeners...
Oh, Paranoia Magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so actually we've started that back up again. Paranoia Magazine's been around since 1992. You know, some of it's kind of fringe conspiracy, but some of it's pretty good investigative reporting, too, on different types of conspiracies. So people can go to paranoiamagazine.com and check out some of the issues we have on there. And 10 o'clock tonight, Olaf Phillips and myself will be doing the Paranoia podcast. So, yeah, people can go to paranoiamagazine.com for more information.
Cool. What was that? I got some shrimp to throw in the oven. I don't know about you guys, but I got shrimp.
Right on.
So,
I think I'm going to take my old man nap right now for about an hour or two. And since I have tomorrow off, you know, what the heck? Just going to take it easy for a little while. And then at 10 o'clock, we have our podcast. So, I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
Hey,
thank you.
Well, thanks for listening to Ron Patton. It's good to have him back. It's been a while, and it's always a pleasure to listen to him. He's a very good guest. It's awesome.
Absolutely. You know, conspiracies and stuff like that, it's one of my favorite subjects. I'm not an expert on it, but I do read quite a bit on it, and it's very entertaining. But with that, Sherry, I'm going to go eat some dinner, unless you have anything else. So I guess we'll close her out.
Well, might as well plug myself in. Hey, anybody wants a possible test with me for traditional Chinese medicine and medical Qigong, get a hold of me at Facebook. Psychic Medium Sherry, it's Cheri on Facebook. You can go and like my page and go ahead and get a hold of me. Go ahead and under the messages, and I'll get back to you in between clients, or you can get a hold of me on my website at www.psychicmediumsherry. It's all in one word, lowercase, cheri.weebly.com. Go ahead and fill out the contact form. I'd be happy to do a reading and or Chinese medicine. So I will get back to you as soon as I can. Yeah, and thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Next week
absolutely.
We're going to talk about
Ooh, Andrea Perron, yeah.
2 weeks now. So, yep, we're going to go with them. Let's go eat. We're going to go off.
Yeah, I hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. We'll be back 7 p.m. West Coast time next Sunday. Give us a like on Facebook. We've got to get that Facebook page fired up again. We went from reaching millions of people every week to I don't even know what it is. It's only tens of thousands. We got to turn that algorithm around and get that Facebook page on fire again.
Yeah.
But how we manipulate that, I have no idea.
All right. Take care. Thanks for supporting us, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.